Bibles this morning, turn to 2 Chronicles chapter 15. And it's a blessing to be here this morning. Thank y'all so much. Thank you, preacher, for letting us come. And thank y'all for your hard work. Amen. For the meeting. Yeah. I don't know a man any richer than you people will be in glory for the time and the effort you've put into just reaching souls in your community, Amen. In your neighborhood. What a blessing. What a blessing that is. There's a lot of churches that are big on missions. Amen. But they miss it at home. They don't understand what you've gotten a hold of right here, that with the work is here and abroad. 2 Chronicles chapter 15, I want to encourage the church this morning, show you something that I needed. When God showed it to me, I needed this encouragement. I was in a place where I was just mad, and I'll mention that to you here in just a minute and show you what I saw. In 2 Chronicles chapter 15, and we'll start, let's just go to verse 5 for time's sake this morning. It says, "And in those times there was no peace to him that went out, nor to him that came in, but great vexations were upon all the inhabitants of the countries, and nation was destroyed of nation, and city of city, for God did vex them with all adversity." Dear Lord, I pray that you'll help us this morning. I pray that you'll give us clarity of thought, give us ears to listen, and hearts to understand. And Lord, if there'd be one here lost today, I pray that you would convict in such a way they couldn't leave without doing business with you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So in this verse here, we're talking about in the time of King Asa. He had just become king, and we're talking about Judah, the kingdom of Judah, and the book says in verse 5, "In those times there was no peace to him that went out, nor to him that came in, but great vexations." They were in a hard place, in a time where they couldn't leave home without being vexed. They couldn't come back without being vexed. Just everything just seems to be pressure. Amen. It seemed to be a tough time. And when I read those verses, I was in a place in my life where I was just discouraged. I was just mad about the things that are going on in the world. I all this sickness that's been going around, and do we go to church or do we not go to church? And the book says that to forsake not the assembling of yourself together, but yet people say, oh, if you go to church, you're going to catch the sickness, and you can't catch it here, but you can catch it there. Well, I caught it, and I caught it at church, amen. So you can catch it at church, amen. I've had it twice. It's real. I'm not belittling the sickness, because we have lived through it two times in our short lives here already, and it's caused damage to our bodies. We can tell that. But it was great vexation about what to do. Should I, you know, there's people dying, and I can't go to the hospital and see them, and there's folks at the nursing home that we couldn't go talk to, and it's just vexing. It was like, Lord, what in the world? What is going on? Why is this like this? And then as we traveled, I don't know about y'all, but we traveled around some places, and you know, you're tired after you ride 8, 9, 10 hours, and used to, when I was younger, I just wanted to rush through, and I wanted to grab something and get to where I was going. But now, as I get older, I want to stop, and I want to go in a restaurant, and I want to sit down, and I want to rest for a little while, and eat till I can't move, and then get back in the vehicle and move again. Well, you know, nowadays, you pull up, and you go to 4 or 5 places before you find one that'll let you come in, and it's just vexing. So that day, I was already, those things have been going through my mind, and then all this stuff that happened at the Capitol. That happened to be when the Lord showed me this was on January the 6th. And I was at a mission house, and for some reason I took Caleb's computer and I turned on C-SPAN to just see what the house was doing. And I don't know why I did that. But anyway, then all that business went on. So in my heart, I'm like, there's patriots. There's people that want to stand up for what they believe in. And then all of a sudden the guy comes on there and says they're terrorists. So I'm vexed in my heart. I'm like, they're terrorists. Are they patriots? Are they terrorists? Or am I a patriot? Or is I a terrorist? Or is the Second Amendment for killing squirrels? Or is it for what exactly we thought it was wrote for? You know, I hear people on the news saying all these people think it's about defending themselves. It's not about that, you know, and it's just, everything's a mess. I always knew, I mentioned this yesterday at a place we were at, and I got to preach a little bit, and I mentioned that I always knew the media would lie. You know, I turned the news on, I thought, well, that's a lie, you know. But I didn't realize until now that all they did was lie, that it's all lies. You can pick what you believe, and you can find the station to get what you believe from the media. So they're all lying. None of them's telling the whole truth. And so anyway, I was in that shape, and I came out, and I was reading my Bible, and I read across that verse, and I said, you're right, Lord. Vexed daily. That's me. I found myself in verse 5. I'm vexed daily, coming in and going out. And then I just kept reading. You know what we do. We keep reading the Bible. And I just read down through there, and it didn't mean a whole lot to me. Then I got to verse 15. In the very last part of the sentence there, it says, "And the Lord gave them rest roundabout. So when I read that, I thought, oh, that's what I want, Lord. What did I miss? I got to go back and find where, how did they went from a place of vexation to a place of rest, from vexation to relaxation. That's what I was looking for in my life that day. So that's what I want to preach about this morning. So we're in the time of Asa the king. And let's just go on with it here. And let's see verse 1. And the Spirit of God came upon Azariah, the son of Oded, and he went out to meet Asa and said unto him, hear ye me, and Asa and all Judah and Benjamin, the Lord is with you while you be with him. And if you seek him, he will be found of you. But if you forsake him, he will forsake you. Now for a long season, Israel hath been without the true God and without a teaching priest and without law. But when they in their trouble did turn unto the Lord God of Israel and sought them, he was found of them. So I want to start out this morning saying, why were they in vexation? What led to their place of vexation? And I think as we see what led to their vexation, we may see what's leading in our own lives to our own place of vexation, our own place of stress and anxiety over the things of the world and the things that really shouldn't be that important to us. And as we'll see what should be important, and we'll see in our country why we've gotten in the shape we've in. It's all in this one little chapter. We can see exactly where we live in 2021. It says in verse 3, now for a long season Israel hath been without the true God. Well, the first thing that led them to vexation was they were without the true God. We know that Israel had turned to many idols, and we read all that through the Old Testament. And I think about in my life, am I without the true God? Are you without the true God? Is our nation without the true God? I know in our country they've done away with the prayer in the schools and all those many things, and we see that we're taught every day not to believe in God in the education system. That's the first thing they want you to do, is tell you that He's not real. And that's led, you know, to the place where we've got men being men, women and women being men. And we've got, you know, the first thing they tell you is you can be anything you want to be when you grow up. And that's a lie. Amen. You cannot be anything you want to be when you grow up. God did not create you to be anything. He created you for a purpose. Amen. And whatever that purpose is what we need to be when we grow up. But we see they were without the true God. So that's easy to see in our nation, that we're without the true God. I even when we were founded, when our nation was founded, and I'm thankful for our founding fathers. I think they were great men. And I did a college class one time, and I wrote a paper. It was at a public college, but I wrote a paper on that our nation was founded on Christian principles. And I turned in my topic, and the lady said, you can't do that objectively. And I said, I will. And she said, you will fail because you can't do that. And I said, I won't put any opinion in this whatsoever, and I'll write this paper. And I did that, and I got a passing grade. I would imagine I got an A. I can't remember how the point, it was point scales. They didn't use A's, B's, and C's, you know. But whatever it was, I got full credit for that paper because I took in quotes from these men, and there was no denying that they founded this country on Christian principles. But, amen, but this morning, when I think about that Declaration of Independence, and he talks about the God of creation, and he talks about the Almighty, and he talks about I can't even think of all the different words they use for God, and they mention him several times, but they never told who he was, amen? God is Jehovah, amen? Our King James Bible tells us his name. In the Psalm, they use the name Yah, and we see that word in the Bible, and we know that he's the God of Abraham, of Isaac, and of Jacob, and we know that he's Jesus Christ, amen? God in the flesh is our God, and they never mentioned that because they were afraid of this state church and all that. But I would say to you, amen, never be afraid to declare who God is. There's one God, amen, according to the Bible, and we get away from that one true God, and now all of a sudden all these people see God as what they want Him to be. That very day that I watched Congress, I watched a man stand up, and he prayed in the name of the God who has many names. And he said one of those names is Brahma. I never heard of a God named Brahma. I had to look it up. I figured he was a cow. I thought, well, this guy's Hindu. He's worshiping cows. That's the only thing I heard of. And it told, I don't even remember what it was, because it's not important who Brahma was. He don't exist, amen? But, I mean, that's got us in the place where our people believe that just whatever you believe is okay as long as we're sincere, and they're going to always be vexed without the true God. And, of course, I should have started this thing with saying I'm trying to help the church this morning. But if you're lost and have not been born again, none of this will help you anyway. You'll be vexed for eternity in hell and without accepting Jesus Christ as your Savior. But us as Christians have got to remember who the true God is, because we got to tell the world who He is. In our churches, amen, and I'll just go on and get there, you can find God can be whatever you want Him to be. I believe if we passed out paper this morning and said, draw a picture of God, none of us would have the same picture. It all looked like something that we liked, just like the idols that they made in the Old Testament. I believe if you want a God that rides a motorcycle and wears a chain, there's a church this morning, I bet you, somewhere around here that we could go to and worship a God that drives a Harley Davidson. If you like horses and you love horses and you love to be a cowboy, I guarantee you we can go find you a church that you can go to and worship a God that wears a Stetson hat and sits on a quarter horse this morning, because that's what we see in our lives. If we think God is a rock and roll God, we can go to a church this morning and we can worship a God that likes blacked out walls and ceilings and he got light shining everywhere, and that's the God we can worship. Amen. If we want to find a God that we think is a independent, fundamental, Bible-believing Baptist with, you know, like they call these legalists, that what they say legalists. I've never met a legalist yet. Amen. That was a Baptist. I've met some legalists that were other denominations, but I'll just use that word this morning. But we can find a church where they worship a preacher, or we can find a church where they worship what they think God is. But if God walked in here this morning, amen, none of us would be high-fiving God. We would be on our face, amen. We would hide our face and we would cry out, "Oh God, forgive me. Oh God, help me. Oh God." The men in the Bible thought they would die when God showed up. That we have lost the reality of the true God, amen. And if we lose the reality of the true God, it's going to lead to vexation. The next thing we see in that verse is they were without a teaching priest. How long have we been without teaching priests? You better thank God that you're in a church where a man of God will stand and teach the Bible. Amen? Because we're in churches all over this country, and there are many churches where nobody is teaching the Word of God. There are many churches where my boys will know exactly where I'm talking about, that I preach there sometimes, and we'll usually get there for Sunday school, and we'll go in, and the Sunday school teacher will read a portion of Scripture. He'll say, "What do you think about that?" And he'll say what he thinks about that. And the next man will say what he thinks about that. And there's a way that seemeth right unto a man, amen. And the end thereof are the ways of death. So we're just talking about something that's going to lead to death all around that table. And nobody is saying, "Thus saith the Lord, this is what the Scripture says," amen. Without a teaching priest, it's led to a place where, I mean, we know our world's upside down. I don't have to keep talking about that. We know that they're killing babies one after another. And those who don't want to kill babies, they're calling us all kind of names. And we're this and that. And I read some things last night where it said that everybody that's dying with the COVID, it's because the Christians and the cults won't go and get the vaccines. I mean, it's just going in the wrong direction, amen. But it's all because men would not teach the book. The reason that we have men who want to be women today and women who want to be men and they want to be accepted in that didn't just start in 2021. It started way back yonder somewhere, and in our time after World War II, when the ladies went to work and they saved our nation and they did a great thing, and we should have applauded them and thanked them for that, and we did. But then the preacher quit preaching that a lady should take care of a family, and the preacher quit preaching that a woman ought to look like a woman. And now every time you say abomination, we think of a lot of things that are abominations, but we forget all the others of the men dressing like women and women dressing like men. All these things, because there's no teaching priest. And where does it lead to? Leads to a place of vexation. It leads to a place where we don't know which bathroom to go in. Amen. It leads to a place where we live at in 2021. No teaching priest. And they were without the law. Amen. The law is what made God's people God's people. Amen. God gave them a law to set them apart, to show the world that they were different, and yet they had no longer had this law, and they no longer were following the law, and but led to a place that they were in, that they were a people that did not belong in the condition they were in. You know, in your life, if you're outside of the will of God, or if you're lost, you are not where God created you to be. You are not, and it'll always be, you won't fit. It just won't seem right, because you're always missing what God designed you for and created you for, if you're lost, or if you've been born again and you're just outside of the will of God and you're not worrying about what the Lord has for you. They were without the law. So let's see, we'll quit wasting time on all the bad, and let's see what led from their condition. So how do we get from this place of vexation to a place of rest? Now let's look in verse 8. All right, in verse 8 it says, "And when Asa heard these words and the prophecy of Oded the prophet, he took courage." The first thing I want you to see this morning is that Asa encouraged himself in the Word of God. when the prophet came and told him what was going on. And we not only see the prophet Azariah, the son of Oded, but evidently Oded himself, I mean, they doubled up that day and they came to the king. And Oded made a prophecy and Azariah made a prophecy. And Asa encouraged himself in the word of God. If we're going to quit being vexed, that day when I was sitting there, now I had been in services and I had stood up there and played while my kids were singing, and I had testified, and I was mad all over. I did not want to be at church. I wanted to be somewhere fighting or somewhere getting a hold of one of those dummies that was on the TV and just shaking him by the hair. You understand? That was the place I was in. It was bad enough where I even had a pastor tell me they were going to have a protest, you know, at the courthouse. Don't you go down there. And I'm thinking, brother, brother, you know what I mean? It was just a place of vexation. But I could take courage in the Word of God. Amen. We look in the Word of God and we see what's important. I know that this book right here is correct. Amen. I hold in my hand the Word of God. The King James Bible is the Word of God. And they may attack it and they may tell you it's wrong, but we can take courage that is correct. If they want to tell us you have to accept this or you have to be this way or you have to be that way, we don't have to feel ashamed that, well, because of what I believe in my religion, because of what I believe, I don't want to go along with that. And we might sometimes feel ashamed of that or like we're the oddball, but we can take courage that this is right. Amen. If it lines up with the Scripture, it's nothing to be ashamed of. It's correct. It's complete. Amen. Everything that we need from God in the time we live in is right here in this book. Amen. He has written the word for us. It's complete. We don't have to get outside or look for some new revelation or some older book or some better manuscript of the Bible. The King James Bible is the complete, correct word of God, and it is compatible. Amen. It's not outdated. This book will be attacked more because of the things that are going on in this world. And I don't know how that it can stay. I don't know how that they can put up with the Bible as it is written, because it completely goes against what the world's teaching and what the schools are teaching and what the world believes. But it is compatible. This is not written just for 100 AD. It's not written just for the old times. It's not written just for the Jews in the wilderness. It's written for you and for me on September the 12th of 2021. This is the Word of God. It's correct, complete, and compatible. They encourage themselves in the Word of God. Look at the rest of that verse. It says, I'll just start back at the top of it. When Asa heard these words and the prophecy of Oded the prophet, he took courage and put away the abominable idols out of all the land of Judah and Benjamin and out of the cities that he had taken from Ephraim, and he renewed the altar of the Lord that was before the porch. He not only encouraged himself in the Word of God. We do that many times. On Sundays we come to church, and on Wednesday night, what a blessing it is to come in and be with God's people. And then and during revival times, and I mean, what a shot in the arm is it to come to a tent and only hear the gospel every night of the week. The power, the preacher mentioned it, the power is the preaching of the cross, and we're getting power. I mean, that's the reason you can walk through these neighborhoods with boldness where there's no telling what's going on behind those doors. That's the reason you can go for mile after mile after mile on your feet. You know, we look at our little things on our phone, and one day, you know, you've got 1,600 steps, and one day you got 3,000. Oh, wow, I did a 6,000 step day. I'm really proud of myself. And then all of a sudden you see one that says 25,000 or 30,000 steps, because God gave power to do things for Him, and because we've enacted on the Word of God. If we don't enact upon the Word of God, it's of no value. You know, coming to church and encouraging ourselves in the Word of God is great, but when we leave and don't do anything with the Word of God, it hasn't changed anything. We're just like we were. Nobody got any help. So we see that they enacted upon the Word of God. They removed the idols. Amen. So we already talked about that. We didn't know that we forget who the true God is. That goes right along with this. We got to get rid of those idols, those things in our lives that are more important. If my liberty, thank God for it. If it's more important to me than this Word of God, then it's an idol in my life. You understand? And that does, as an American, when I say that, I want to slap myself. Amen? Because I want my liberty. I don't want nobody telling me what to do. But, you know, when it comes down to, you know, will you, I don't know how to say this, but will you accept a vaccine? And I'm not telling you to accept a vaccine. I have not took it. Amen? I feel like I about died this last time with the COVID, but I hadn't took a vaccine. But will I accept it? No. Well, is it no because of something in the Word of God, or is it just my pride that I want my liberty? You understand what I'm saying? I don't want to say that I'm for either one. I'm for a man doing whatever he wants to do, amen. But We are servants of God. This book is what's important to us. It's not, our idol can't be liberty. Our idol can't be our church or our preacher. I know a young man, it's a very smart young man, and he's a preacher, and he told me about this church, and he said, they're idol worshipers. And I said, brother, you can't say that, brother. They're independent, fundamental, Bible-believing Baptist. That's a well-known church. They're not, don't say that. And he said, no, they're idol worshipers. He said that they always got to have the new thing, the newest guy out preaching. They want to get him before anybody else so they can say, yeah, he preached here. He preached here back when there was just a few people, and he was telling me all about that, and it happened to him personally because he got in a place where God began to deal with him and God began to work with him and began to move in his life, and somebody took notice of that, and he said, and they called me, and they wanted me to come. He said, and I thought in my heart, I don't want to go there. I know what they're doing. They think I'm going to do some great work for God. You know what I mean? And not to puff himself up. He said, but I know what they're doing. And he went anyway, you know, because that's the opportunity to preach for all these people where all these great men had preached. And he said he got up behind the pulpit and he opened his Bible and he said, blah, 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 blah. Everything he said was just mumbling. He said it was the most, he said that people out there going, bless his heart. Oh, bless his heart. And God just humbled him. He got there and he humbled him even more in front of those people. And he said they'd never have him again now if they wanted to. But it was because he said they were idol worshipers. Can you believe we would worship idols at church? Do we worship the idols of our buildings? I've been in places where the most important thing was the building, or this is what we've done, or we've got this many people, or we've got these musicians that go to our church, or we've got this preacher, this evangelist is a member of our church. There's a lot of idols besides the idols that we just immediately pop into our head of money and of fame and of fortune and of our reputations. They removed the idols. It says, and they renewed the altars. Praise God for the altars. Amen. The preacher mentioned this morning, present your bodies a living sacrifice. You know, there was no worship in the book. You don't see any worship where a sacrifice is not involved. And I don't know how we think we're going to come to church on a Sunday and we're going to worship God and not bring a sacrifice. I don't know why we would think it's okay to show up without a sacrifice. And I'm not talking about bring your lamb or your sheep or turn your 30-30 in and give that over to God. I'm talking about our bodies, a living sacrifice presented for the Lord. We were in a church not too long ago that I guarantee you nobody's been to the altar in 40 years. I mean, I could not get anybody to come to the altar. And I even tried, you know, to shame them, you know, shame them into coming to the altar. You ask all these questions, raise your hand. And these country people, I thought, well, if they raise their hand, they're gonna stick with their guns, you know. And I got to raise, you know, do you know anybody that knows somebody that knew somebody who was in the hospital? Wouldn't you at least come pray for them? You know, all that kind of stuff. And nobody's going to use the altar. And without coming to that altar, their worship will never be done. It's going to lead to a place of vexation. It's going to lead to a place of that they were in the Old Testament. If we're going to get from that, we've got to come to the altars and we've got to get things right with the Lord and worship Him in the way He's designed. Look in verse 9. It says, and he gathered all Judah and Benjamin and strangers with him out of Ephraim and Manasseh and out of Simeon. What do we see now? We see that they evangelized with the Word of God. They not only encouraged themselves in the Word of God, they not only enacted on the Word of God, but they evangelized with the Word of God. And I don't need to preach to you about that, amen, because that's what has been going on all these last 2 weeks or last week and a half or however long that things have been going, and probably for the whole year as preparation has been made for the gospel tent to go out there. But we've got to get outside of our churches. We've got to evangelize. You know, I was in a church one Sunday. I keep talking about churches. These people ought to see this thing and know I'm talking about them. But I was in a church one Easter Sunday. And you know, what pastor let somebody else preach on Easter? I never could imagine. But a guy called me and asked me, would I come preach on Easter? And I said, praise the Lord. Yes, sir, I would love to. And when I got there, I was fired up and I was excited. And I understand numbers are not that important. No matter if there's three people or if there's 300 people. Either way, the Word of God is still the Word of God. And God's got a message for somebody. That's the reason you're there. And so I got there and I was all excited. And the preacher showed up. And the deacon showed up, and my family was there, and one more family was there, and nobody else came. And I preached, and I was talking to the deacon. I was like, this is the first time I've been to a church on Easter that there weren't visitors. I've never seen, and most of them are full. I mean, we were in one in South Texas in the middle of the nowhere down there, and one Easter Sunday, and I wasn't preaching, amen, but we were there, and we sang. And there was, how many people you think, Misty, was there? Maybe 30. 25 or 30, and normally they had like 5. I mean, so that's the increase because it was Easter Sunday, you know, and they filled the building up, or Resurrection Sunday. And so there that day, there was nobody. And I asked that deacon, I was like, what happened? What's going on? And he said, oh, the people in this community don't want church. I said, I said, so when you went to them, they just said they wouldn't come. I mean, I've never seen that. He said, no, we don't even bother anymore. We don't even go to the doors because they're all rejected it. They've rejected God and they've rejected this church. And I mean, he just had that attitude that he was in a place where I don't know why they still had a church. I mean, I don't know why they bothered to come there if they weren't going to do something for God. And they have to evangelize with the Word of God. So let me quickly get done with this. It says, and they gathered all Judah and Benjamin and strangers with them out of Ephraim and Manasseh and Simeon. They sent out, amen. They went out and they got the people. And then if you'll see the rest of that verse, it says, for they fell to him out of Israel in abundance when they saw that the Lord his God was with him. They not only sent out, but they showed, they lived it. The power of God was moving, and those people that they went and gathered came to the church and then came to the place there to worship. And then when they began to worship and God began to move, they no longer were going to get them. They were just coming on their own. They said, man, we want to see what's going on down there. We want to see why God's moving. So they were coming from a place, well, you can understand that. They've been in a place of vexation, and now all of a sudden they see some people with joy in their hearts, and they see some people that are rejoicing and praising God, and they want to know what's going on. They evangelized with the Word of God. And in verse 12 it says, and they entered into a covenant. They entered into a covenant. They entered into a covenant to seek the Lord God of their fathers with all their heart and all their soul. I think that's the main point of the message is, amen, if I'm vexed about the things of this world, if I'm in the stress and in a hard place and worried, and I'm not telling you not to worry, but if my every thought is what is happening in Washington and what is happening in the hospitals and what is the numbers today for this and what is going on, then I may not be in the place where I'm seeking the Lord God with all my heart and all my soul. He says they sought him with all their heart and with all their soul. And verse 13 says that whosoever would not seek the Lord God of Israel should be put to death. Whether small or great, whether man or woman. I mean, this has gotten serious. They're talking about putting to death people that will not seek God. Well, what does that mean to us? I mean, that means to me that there are some people that I deal with day in and day out, maybe on a job or maybe in another place of a hobby or maybe at my church that are not going to do nothing for God and they're not seeking God and they're not any good for you and they're not any good for me. And what do we need to do is leave them alone, amen? We need to let them go and let them do what they want to do. And I ain't telling you not to let them come to church, but don't waste your time with somebody that don't want to do nothing for God, because you're going to find that your time is wasted and it's gone and you hadn't been able to do nothing because you're fooling with some deadbeat, and you can be a deadbeat yourself, amen. There are churches, there's people creep in, and they ain't never done nothing for God. They talk the talk, and they walk the walk on Sunday morning, but we've got to separate ourselves from them people. And if you see somebody in the church that's doing something for God, amen, find out what they're doing. It may be a little that'll rub off. There's a preacher that lives out my way that he's been evangelist for a long time. And he preaches every day. I mean, it doesn't matter. It's every day. And if he doesn't have a church that he's going to, you can go down to a certain street in his town, and he's standing on the side of the street, and he's preaching. And after I figured that out, I told him, I started calling him. I was like, brother, are you at home this weekend? He's like, no, I'm in Ohio, or no, I'm in Iowa, or I'm wherever. And he was traveling. And finally, I caught up with him one Saturday, and I got my kids loaded up, and I said, let's go see what he is doing. And we got to go and watch him and see how he ministered, because he's doing for something for God. He's not wasting his time. Amen. And not waiting on the next big meeting or the next big thing. He'll go across the country for a meeting, or if he don't have one, he'll preach God right there in front of his house. Amen. What a blessing. They entered into covenant to seek the Lord with their whole heart. So they entered into a covenant with each other. It says, that they would put to death, small or great, any man or woman. Next thing we see is that they entered into a covenant with God himself. It says in verse 14, and they swear unto the Lord with a loud voice and with shouting and with trumpets and with cornets. Amen. They not only entered into a covenant with each other at the church, but with God himself. And when I read that verse, I thought about the times that I've come to the altar and God has showed me things or convicted me of things or helped me with things. And I left there determined what I was going to do for God. And when I got to the car, it was gone and I never brought it anymore. You know, but these folks weren't going to get away with that. Amen. Because they swore to God with a loud voice. They made a big deal out of it with shoutings and trumpets and with cornets. Sometimes in our life, we just need to stand up and proclaim to God's people, this is what God showed me. This is what I'm going to do for God. Because we're just people, amen? I might be in the Spirit today and backslid tomorrow. It's just the way life is, up and down, up and down. And that's why we have a church body, amen? That's why we meet together so we can encourage each other. So if we're going to get out of that place of vexation, amen, we're going to hold ourselves accountable and we're going to stand together as one body of Christ. It's not just you and it's not just me. It's all of us together working for God. They entered into covenant, seek the Lord God. And we see in verse 15, and all Judah rejoiced at the oath, for they had sworn with all their heart and sought him with their whole desire, and he was found of them, and the Lord gave them rest round about. I think you'll see what I'm talking about this morning, that the shape I was in was a shape that I was worried about everything else besides what was important. Amen. If we're worried about this virus, we need to be careful about the virus. I understand that. Or if we're worried about, if we were worried about safety, we wouldn't have the tent where we have it, would we? I mean, if life was about just going through life, doing the best you can, being the best you can, being as safe as you can, then we'd put the tent up out here probably somewhere and somewhere where the community's a little nicer and the people are a little nicer. But God said to go into all the world and we're to seek him with our whole heart. Amen. So when we did that, it led to a place of rest. So quickly turn to 2 Corinthians 4 because I don't want you to think I'm preaching prosperity message this morning. That you'd preach it, if you do this, here we are back to our works. Amen. That if we do this, this, and this, God's going to do this, this, and this. Amen. He's God. He can do whatever he wants to. But 2 Corinthians chapter 4, and we know the verses in Matthew. It was Matthew chapter 11. You mentioned that this morning? Yeah, that's where it was at. My brain don't work. I got the COVID memory. Brother Chris did, all right? That if we come unto him, he would give us rest. We know that verse. So I mean, that verse itself sums up this whole chapter in just a few words. That when we come to Jesus, his yoke is easy and his burden is light. Amen. But in 2 Corinthians 4, we'll see this quickly. It says, verse 7, but we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. I don't know if you paid that any attention, but that's a very, very interesting verse. It's that we have a treasure. So what we're about to read about is something to be desired, something to be wanted for, something to be sought after, and it's a treasure. And the treasure's not going to make us rich or make us more important. It says that excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. This treasure is going to show that God is mighty and God is somebody and God is great. He's the one true God. We are troubled on every side, verse 8, and yet not distressed. So if I'm living a life that's completely seeking after God and completely about his purpose and going after the true God and using the word of God and going in the altars and I'm doing all these things that we talked about, is the trouble going to go away? Well, I would say that Israel still had enemies. Judah still had enemies all around them when they led to this place of rest. But yet they had rest because they were in the will of God. And so we'll come to a place where we're troubled still, but we're not distressed. I'm not worried about what so-and-so's church does for the coronavirus, or I'm not worried about what so-and-so does over shutting down service or having service, because I'm just seeking God. I'm just doing his will. Let's worry about what we're doing for God. It says they're troubled and we're not distressed. We're perplexed. I'm perplexed about a lot of things God does. I've said this before, there's a people that God has taken away from, I'd say taken away from me, amen, they weren't mine to start with, we belong to God, but has taken out of my life that I would call today with some questions that I've had ever since they passed away that they could help me with, amen, and I'm perplexed about that. Why, God, did you do this? But I'm not in despair, amen, I know where they're at. I not wonder if one day that I might get to see these people in glory again, or I don't wonder if one day that they're maybe in heaven. I know, I'm not in despair. I know where they are, and I know where I'll be when I pass away. It says, but not in despair, persecuted, but not forsaken. Amen? We don't know nothing about persecution, but we might get to know someone one of these days. Hopefully the Lord will snatch us out of here. I'm one of these, I don't know. I better not say that. I've got to say I'm not afraid of it, then I'll get some before I leave here. But I'm not going to run from it, amen, but I'd a whole lot rather not deal with it, amen. Persecuted but not destroyed. Cast down and not destroyed. Here's the always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. Amen. I think that we spend a lot of time worrying about a lot of things, and I spend a lot of time arguing about a lot of political things and a lot of health things that don't amount to nothing. Amen. That just because the world's different does not mean that people are not still dying and going to hell every day. Just because the government thinks that we're going to come in here and going to kill all the world because we met together does not mean that the Bible doesn't still say, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together. Amen. It doesn't still say, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Amen. So I just want to encourage you this morning that if we'll put our eyes on Jesus and doing something for Him, seeking the will of God, it makes all the difference in the world. It'll make you where you can stand in the middle of the projects over there and open a door. Amen. Let me just tell you this, and I'm getting out of the way. Some of these projects we went to the other day, and I had Brother Kaiser's daughters with me. You understand? So I'm already nervous for me and my boys, and then there's Brother Kaiser's little ones running there. So we're hanging bags, and there's some of these apartments are huge, and I'm thinking, man, what do you have to do to get one of these big apartments in the projects, you know? And then one of the young ladies says, I think there's more doors inside of that door. And we open one up, and sure enough, there's four apartments. So you're walking in already a place where you're not supposed to be, and a door shuts behind you, and you're in a stairwell. I'm just telling you that only the Lord can help you to do that. And who'd have thought that the will of God on that day would be to go to a place like that where something could happen to you. Something could have happened to one of those young ladies. But yet, what a blessing it is what they did and what God's going to do because of that little bit, because in His will. Amen.
Amen.
Come on, preacher.
Amen. Brother, here's what I'd like to do. I'll let y'all sing something for invitation.
Yes, sir.
And I'll let them come. And let me just tell you that here's the thing. I know a lot of times we try to